You know, every follower of Jesus, in some sense or another, is a missionary. We're called to reach others with the gospel. But you're going to hear some stuff that's going to stir and inspire your heart today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Friends, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be stirred, you're going to be encouraged. Could it be that God has more for you? Could it be that God wants to use you to touch the nations? Could it be that He's put a deposit inside of you that will bless and help many, many people? Remember what Jesus said almost 2,000 years ago, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Well, now, in the critical days in which we're living with the whole world being shaken, the harvest is riper than ever. The labor is still few. Maybe God wants to use you to make a difference. Welcome to the broadcast. If you have a question that relates to missions or getting out on the mission field, 866-34-TRUTH, but we won't be taking general calls today. I'm joined today by dear friends, co-workers for over 22 years now, Josh and Toby Peters. I don't know anybody that's more steady and faithful to the work of the Lord than this couple. We've had the joy and privilege of serving together in Florida, now in North Carolina, but literally around the world. And they head up our missions arm, which is Fire International, F-I, Fire International. We'll tell you how to find out more about that. And today, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to sit back. We're not going to focus on politics. We're not going to focus on other things like that. I want you to sit back, be edified, and encouraged. Josh and Toby, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure to be here, Dr. Brown. We love this show. We love what we're doing around the world together.
It's been an amazing journey. And if you put all the stories together, you take a whole lot of big books to finish telling the story, and it's really just starting in so many ways. Josh, we found out about you and the ministry you were part of in early 1997 when our School of Ministry was birthed in the midst of Brownsville Revival, and we were having a special missions emphasis week right at the beginning, and students said, yeah, this guy came in, he was showing clips, videos from Indonesia, and God moving, and it was amazing. And that was their first contact. And then God called you and Toby to be with us full-time and then ultimately to lead our missions department. Josh, how'd you get on the mission field in the first place?
Well, first, I finished 5 years of Bible college in Liberty Bible College in Pensacola, Florida. And when you get ready to graduate, you're pressing into God saying, what do I do now? Am I a pastor? Have I been called to be a missionary? Have I been called to be a teacher?
Now, were you living like a really Christian life your whole life?
No. No. My first 23 years, I lived faithfully for Satan, but got gloriously saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and served faithful in my church for 7 years. And then the Lord said, go be trained. And so we went down. We were there and served well at our church, Liberty Church in Pensacola, Florida. And I grew, was discipled well, trained well, and learned how to pray and find the heart of God and the voice of God there. Mm. And from that, the Lord said, I want you to go move to Malaysia. I want you to take your family, and I want you to start Bible schools in conjunction with local churches.
Mm. So you heard a directive from the Lord, and that was one of many over the course of your life. Can you give me an example of God speaking to you, leading you, God, and something happening supernatural as a result of that, or really clear why that was the plan of God, the will of God?
Oh, so many stories. Oh, my. Which one? Well, like on the mission field or just in anywhere?
You name it.
One of my most favorite stories of how the Lord speaks to me. I was in the immigration line coming from Singapore back into Malaysia. I needed 2 months on my passport, and very seldom at that port did they give more than 1 month. So there was two men ahead of me, and I'm praying, Lord, I need you to give me 1 month. And I'm just standing there praying in the Spirit and believing God's going to speak to me. And he said, as soon as the officer speaks to you, I want you to stand up to the counter, take your ring, tap it on the front edge of the counter, and look him in the eye and tell him that you love Genting Highlands. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. These immigration officers, they don't talk to you. They don't ask you questions. And so I had to make the decision, obey or disobey. And I've had
you don't small talk with people at passport control or customs.
No, not at all. You just pray you can get in and out with your life when you go through the line. So I'm now deciding, Lord, is this really you? Is this really you? And so the next guy moves up, and I'm watching the immigration officer with my passport. He opens many pages, and he looks up at me, and he frowns. And then he looks back at my passport again at more pages, and he looks at me with a frown, scowl on his face, and he says, why do you keep coming into my country? Mm. And then at that moment, I had to make the decision. I reached up over the desk. I tapped my ring on the front edge of his desk, and I said, I love Genting Highlands. And he just looked at me, and he looked down. He took his stamp, and he stamped my passport for 3 months, and he handed it back and never said another word. Now, why is that important? It's important because Genting Highlands in Malaysia was the premier gambling resort area for that part of Southeast Asia in that day. Now, I know what he was thinking. Here's a rich American coming in, spending his money gambling in Malaysia. Now, why do I love Genting Highlands? Well, there were 3,000 workers there in the hotels and the casinos. And from that point, we started a church. We had about 98 people that met every 2 weeks there in one of the rooms at the casino. So my reason for loving Genting Highlands and his reason thinking I love Genting Highlands, two different things. But that was a very precise, answer to
prayer.
Isn't
that wild? I mean, friends, God does those kind of crazy and unusual things, but especially when we step out and obey him. And being on the mission field, it's challenging and sacrificial, but it's an incredible adventure. Now, Toby, you grew up differently than Josh did, and were set aside, single woman in ministry, set aside, and Josh had a wife and family. You were involved with the family and the kids. His wife passed away. God brought the two of you together, and it was all planned. He kept you for that purpose. When you were a single woman, and there were different guys that were interested in you over the years you were doing ministry, did you have a sense that you were waiting for somebody, there was some connection? Because I think you were pretty satisfied, content doing the ministry you were doing. How did God prepare your heart?
Well, I always wanted to be married, and I always had a sense that I was going to be in some sort of partnership with my husband. But until then, the Lord really strongly encouraged me, don't make marriage an idol in your life and put your life on hold until that happens. Jump in full force and walk through the doors that I open for you. So I had kind of made a pact with the Lord, God, whatever doors you open for ministry, I'm going to do. I was very involved in singing and in worship and drama and teaching and various different levels there in the church. I went to Liberty Bible College in Pensacola, Florida as well, and knew Josh and his family. And at one point, they were my cell group leaders, and they would pray for us single folks, for our future mates. And, you know, it's kind
Isn't
of funny
wild?
Years later realizing that Josh was praying for himself and he didn't even know it at the time. But, you know, the key, whether you're married or single, is to keep your focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And just do what he has called you to do at that moment in time and trust him. And so God had basically given me that lesson to focus on him first and foremost. I had seen a lot of young people get distracted by relationships and by, you know, even marrying or that kind of thing, and it pulled them away from the ministry call on their life. And I'd always known that God had something for me. I just didn't know what it was. And what's very humorous is I didn't have a missions call during my years in Bible school. I never went on a missions trip. I didn't have a sense that I was going to be outside of America. I loved missionaries. I loved our missions conference every year. But I did not have a sense that I was called to the field. And I think even that was part of God keeping me for Josh, because otherwise I would have gone to the field.
Mm.
But yeah, it was quite a surprise when the Lord put us together, because there is an age difference. He's 13 years older than I am.
I just hope she can keep up.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. And how old are you now, Josh?
I'll be 71 in August.
71. Wow. All right. We've been going the same, exactly the same pace, attitude, spirit, as long as I've known both of you.
We've been married now it'll be 26 years in July.
Amazing. Amazing. So friends, here we are in the midst of a historic revival in Pensacola, people flocking from around the world, getting radically saved, encountering the Lord, and then many believers getting touched and saying, I want to do more with my life. Up until now, I've been content being a builder and having a big company. Up until now, I've been content being a banker. Up until now, I'd be content being a homeschool mom. And now I'm sensing there's something more. And I remember when the builders would sell their company and come to the school. I remember one couple did their first missions trip as great grandparents. I remember another couple coming to drop off their oldest daughter. I think they had 8 children. He was a banker. And God said, no, you're going to school too. So the husband and wife go to the school as well. I remember the night in one service, I made a random comment. It wasn't like the Lord spoke something to me. It was a random comment. I said, you may be a carpenter. You may be the mother of 5. God's calling you to the school. You need to come. Afterwards, a couple comes up, tall couple. He says, I'm the carpenter. She says, I'm the mother of 5. They said, we were praying for one more confirmation, and this was it. They came to the school. They ended up serving as missionaries in Poland. So, friend, maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe you're trained, equipped. You want to get on the mission field or back on the mission field. I want you to go to fire-international.org. fire-international.org. And inquire. Look at some of the countries where we have workers now. Maybe you've been on the field, need to get back on the field, and are looking for the right connection, people of like heart. Maybe we could help you fulfill your calling in God. If you need to be trained, equipped, we have a full online school. We'll tell you about that in a moment. But we come back, some adventures in the mission field, and find out what some people just like you, what they're doing around the world today, bearing amazing fruit. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire, speaking with Dr. Josh and Toby Peters, dear friends, colleagues of well over 20 years now. And, you know, when I got saved and we hear a missionary, we just go, well, missionary. It's almost like a different person or a different breed or a different calling. And then you kind of find out missionaries are just regular people, and they're just called to serve in another place. And do we're all supposed to be missionaries wherever we are, making the gospel known. And it's amazing to see what God can do through regular people who say, Lord, I want my life to count. Now, please understand, your life can count right in your business. Your life can count right in your home. Your life can count right in your community. You don't have to be overseas. But when you realize that the needs are so massive, the doors are so open, the harvest is so ripe, that just think of doing the same stuff you do here, but doing it somewhere else where the fruit is massively greater. And during this current crisis, many of you are thinking, there's got to be more to life. Well, there is. So Josh, let's talk about concrete today. What are some of our missionaries, our fire missionaries, what are some of them doing today in different parts of the world?
We'll start in Mexico. My first missionary trip to Mexico was in 1980.
Wow.
And God has just simply poured out his spirit there in that country, in the villages with the Indians, within the cities themselves. And our FI missionaries, they've been in several parts of the country there. One in Guadalajara, Mexico, for almost 20 years, one of our first missionaries out. They have fed the hungry. They have done evangelistic campaigns. Wherever they go, they carry the seed of the fire of revival. Mm. They see the supernatural. They see people born again. They watch people come under the anointing and the power of God and get so hungry, they've said, train us. Mm. And so they have a school of the supernatural there. And it started out with just, like you said, normal people, people in the church. They hear about what God is doing, and they said, we need more training. So train us. And from that, they would go back to their churches, and the pastors and their wives, they would suddenly become curious. And from that, there's been hundreds of pastors and their wives retrained with the School of the Supernatural there in Guadalajara. And in some of the churches have grown far beyond our understanding. Our missionary, he goes out once a week into the uptown, into the streets where there are the homeless. We hand out. I mean, we were just there in February with a team from our church, and it's a wonderful thing to hand out food, to hand out sandwiches, to hand out, you know, things that will help their life, toothbrushes, toothpaste, you know, just talking to them in the streets, and they're dirty, they're filthy, and yet they have no one. And yet at the same time, we just sit there and talk to them. Toby, I believe she got a really nice,
Shoe shine
for a dollar.
Yep, something like that.
Yeah, and we had lots of good conversation with the man, and we had a great time. And we get to pray for them. And they're so appreciative that someone takes the time to just talk to them about life and then talk to them and pray for them about what are their needs.
Mm. So it's everything from handing out toothbrushes to laying hands on the sick to reaching one lost person in a village, to seeing churches double and triple. But I've been outside the U.S. about 200 times. I never lived outside the country, but have spent cumulatively years of my life. And the memories you have, the faces that are etched in your heart forever, you realize what seems so minimal for you means so much to others. You think in the light of eternity, friends, what's really going to matter? What is really going to matter? Maybe God's stirring your heart. Maybe you're a single person. Maybe you're married. Maybe you're family. And you feel called. You feel prompted to go on the mission field. We want to help you. If you are like mind with us, if you know our heart, our burden, the things we believe, we want to help you get out and fulfill your calling. Toby, take us to another part of the world. What's God doing through some of our Fire International missionaries?
Well, not only do we plant churches and teach and preach, but we also have a number of missionaries that have started homes, orphanages, children's ministries, these kind of things. We have a couple of homes, one in Mexico and one in the Philippines, where they've rescued girls that have been sexually trafficked and exploited.
Yeah.
And the exciting thing is in our home in the Philippines, they've recently, I mean, just like in the right before the lockdowns happened, one of the girls, these are young girls, 8, 9, 10 years old, came and said, I want to be water baptized. And they've spent time with these girls talking to them about the Lord and just times in worship. And they were getting closer and closer and closer to Jesus, and it accepted them into their hearts. And this one girl said, I want to be water baptized. So they spent time explaining what it was and why do you want to get water baptized. And by the time they finished the teaching, there were about four or five of the girls that wanted to be baptized. So they took them to the beach and baptized them. And so here are children. Here are little girls who just months, maybe a couple of years earlier, were being brutally used and abused.
It's little children.
Little children.
Sexually. Oh, gosh.
Now, full of the joy of the Lord, getting water baptized, giving their lives to Jesus. And one of these girls actually has a heart to go to the mission field.
Mm.
So it's exciting. And then we've got another home also in the Philippines. The kids are just coming to Jesus. There are a few more children there. They have not been sexually exploited. They're just orphans, but still very trauma-ridden children. And there was one little girl named Christine. I just got this report from our missionary Amy there just a month or so ago. She's 9 years old. She was deaf in one ear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got the report, too.
Uh-huh. And
totally deaf in one ear and largely deaf in the other. Yeah.
And so she had a dream where Jesus
came
to her.
What happened, she had an ear infection as a little girl, probably as an infant, but the parents never took her to the doctor. So it completely destroyed one ear. And they were going for a hearing aid, so they found out completely destroyed the hearing in one ear and largely in the other ear. So, got it.
So here she is. She's now in Safe Haven Orphanage in the Philippines, and she has a dream where Jesus came to her. And the neat thing was is she wasn't quite as excited about the Lord as some of the other children were. She's still kind of in the process of coming to Jesus when here he appears to her in this dream, and Jesus touches her ear and tells her, "I've healed you." So the next morning she woke up, and she is totally
healed.
Completely healed. She can hear. Everything has changed, and the doctors had said it would be impossible for her to ever hear again, and now here she is totally healed. So these are things that our people are seeing as they're loving these children, taking them in, protecting them, bringing them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then seeing miracles happen in their lives.
Yeah, and you know, some of the folks that are there, Philippines, our team total, men, women, and children, has got to be around 50 people, something like that, and some of them have been there almost 20 years. And our school, we have a Fire School of Ministry in the Philippines, and they've sent out grads now to Vietnam and to some of the countries we haven't started works, and now they're going to these different countries. But I think of some of the folks involved, you mentioned Amy or her husband, Trent, you know, in the States, they could be making a lot of money. He's one of these guys with business capabilities, and she's very capable. They could be making a whole lot of money, and now that they live in very simple surroundings in the Philippines, they built orphanages and these things, and God really laid on Trent's heart, you want to change the nation, get the orphans. So care for them, but then you can raise them up. You have a life with them to raise them up in the things of God. And I remember when we were in the Philippines a few years ago and we met with all our missionaries, we're sitting with one precious team, two young ladies, and they're at the table with them, three of the sweetest little girls I had ever seen, full of smiles and joy and laughter and just the nicest little Filipino girls. And it turns out that they had been in an abusive relationship with a family member and like chained and stuff. So we were able to get them from the government to say, okay, we're going to help these kids. But they were so wild and so demonized that these two young ladies were saying they had, as a result of trying to help them, our gals had scratches and cuts all over their arms. They actually had to have somebody come in and put some extra wood up on the windows because the kids were so crazy and screaming. And they prayed with them, and they loved them, and they spent time with them, and they broke things off of them. And these are just some of the sweetest, happiest girls. So these are the differences that these folks can make. And then certain parts of the world, like in the Muslim Arabic-speaking world, we can't even say where some of our folks are. But Josh, amazing stuff is happening.
Outstanding things are going on there. There's a major prayer movement that our guys have begun. And the refugees are so hopeless.
Like pouring out of Syria and other countries.
Pouring out of
Yemen and
all
stuff,
of these countries. And somehow the Lord is directing them by word of mouth and by testimony. Where they're coming, they're being born again, they're hearing the gospel, they're coming into the prayer meetings, they're saying, how do we pray? Teach us how we talk to the Lord, how we hear the voice of God. How do we change our nation? How do I change my families? And we've heard stories. I mean, Toby mentioned Jesus coming to this little girl in a dream.
Yeah.
And I just read another article just this week that in one of these Middle Eastern countries, a man knocked on this man's door. He was dressed in white, and he said, I need you to write down everything I say. And this man kept coming day after day after day after day in the evening, dressed in white. And at the end, the man who wrote the article, he read everything that the man had written, and it was the full gospel of John. The full gospel of, I mean, this has been in the last 30 days.
Mm.
But what's my point? If Jesus has to come himself to bring people to himself, what are we doing in our days, in our lives, in this country, who have everything that we need to go to the mission field? I mean, why are we still sitting here? What's it going to take for us to get up as the body of Christ, as the church, and go out?
Friends, God is speaking directly to some of you right now. That's why we're doing the show. We know there are laborers out there, and we want to help get you on the field. We come back, we're going to tell you about some practical steps that you can take to get on the mission field.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire this special day as we focus on missions, on giving your life to make a difference around the world. This is Michael Brown. I'm sitting with my dear friends, Dr. Josh and Toby Peters, that lead our missions arm, which is Fire International. This was born out of our ministry school, which in turn was born out of Revival. People saying, I want to give my life for something that counts. And by God's grace, we've been able to send out hundreds of people over the years all around the world in many nations, some we can't talk about because the security situations are such, we can't even discuss these things. But they're bearing amazing fruit. I mean, we've looked at people, you wouldn't know their names. If I mentioned their names, you wouldn't know them. They've literally reached millions of people, literally. I don't mean in a big gospel crusade. I mean leading someone to the Lord, discipling who leads another, planting churches, house churches, things like that. Amazing work. And I want to encourage you, take a minute, go to fire-international.org. Fire-international.org. Find out who we are, what we believe. If you want to get out on the mission field, we're going to talk about practical steps that can be taken. But if you want to get out on the field and you don't know how, perhaps we can be the link that helps get you out on the field. If you need to be trained, we have an online school we'll tell you about in a minute. And some of you are saying, well, I really feel I'm called to stay here in America. Awesome. Then help the others that are out on the field. The first fruits of all funds that come into our ministry here, we pour right back out into these missionaries on the field. It's a joy and privilege to do that. But I want to encourage you, help someone on the field today. Your dollar or your $10 or your $1,000 or your $5,000, what it can do in a country like the Philippines or in the villages of Mexico or in other parts of the world, you would be blown away by the eternal fruit. So if you just feel you want to give, you want to help, you can do that at fire-international.org. Josh, what kind of person could be a missionary? Who does it take? What are they like?
I would just call them ordinary people. I'm just an ordinary person. There's nothing special about my history other than, you know, you grow up, you go to high school, you graduate, you get jobs, and you get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then God begins to speak to you. And you begin to put faith into action of what He's asking you to do. And you build confidence in Him. And then He begins to say, do this, do that, go here, go there. And so the more obedient we are in obedience to Him, the more He offers us to do, and it grows and grows and grows little by little. And still, I'm no great name of anything, but I've been in more than 50-plus countries of the world, have seen thousands of people saved, and yet I was born and raised in a small town in High Point, North Carolina.
Mm. So Toby, first step, someone's listening, they feel stirred. I've wondered about it now during this virus. I'm thinking there's got to be more to life than just going back to my regular job. I want my life to count. We're talking about solid believers, committed believers, right? So if someone was calling me on the phone, you know, I found out about Fire International and I've got some ministry experience, but I really want to go on the mission field. What would you tell them?
Well, the first thing that is in our hearts for, we don't assign people where to go. If you feel called in missions, we're not going to say, okay, well, we've got this opening here. This is where you are now assigned. Our heart is to help you hear from the Lord and fulfill the vision that God has for your life. So if you have a call to children's ministry, we might suggest, hey, why don't you go check out this place or this place, see if you fit there. If you have a call to preach, you know, we're going to connect you with other missionaries initially, especially taking a quick trip. Is this the part of the world that you're interested in? We want to help you fulfill the call of God on your life. So the key is press in, first off, press into the Lord and say, God, what are you saying to me? Where do you want me to go? What have you put in my hands? What tools have you given me? What gifts have you given me? And then we will come alongside you and help you get there.
Got it. And you mentioned short-term mission trips. Now, right now, everything's a bit on hold in the world, but that's not going to continue forever. Josh, as you're thinking about a lot of our people that are out on the field now, that have been on the field, some of them 15, 20 years, how many pictures going through your mind did a short-term missions trip, or just about everybody, would you say?
All of them. We had, during the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, we had what I call trip junkies. They couldn't get enough. They would go with us on these trips, and some were very, very difficult trips, and yet they saw the hand of God. And when you see God moving on people, when you're sharing your life and you see Him touching people, changing them, and it's just you, it makes a marked difference in your life. I remember Alice Limpert, who's one of our missionaries in Tanzania.
Yeah.
She was one of our favorite trip junkies.
She's a beautician, right?
Yeah, she was a beautician by trade. And yet she's such a loving heart. She's ministered, I don't know how many, hundreds of women in Tanzania and helped them with trades and life.
But and reached out to prostitutes on the street.
She would bring them in, teach them, give them a trade, teach them how to sew. I mean, simple things.
And she wanted to go everywhere but Africa.
That was my surprise. She wanted to go anywhere but Africa, and that's the place that the Lord chose for her. But I think she went on more than 20-plus trips.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
Change your life.
So, all right. We often hear that when you go out overseas, God uses you in unusual ways. Now, the first thing is maybe you're like a contractor and you go down on a church missions trip where you actually help build buildings in poor areas. So suddenly it's like, I can't believe this. You know, we do this in the States and no one even appreciates it here, this little hut, and they're loving it. And so there's that, where you go to impoverished parts of the world and just do your normal thing, or you're a medical doctor. You go on a medical missions trip and it changes your life because you see the needs and what you can do. But then it seems that sometimes God uses you in different ways and more happen, more miracles. So Toby, have you seen that as people go out that they see things happen outside of their home country that they never saw happen in their home country?
Yes, and on a certain level, that's unfortunate. I think one of the reasons is there's a greater expectation, even on both sides. You know, as we are preparing to take trips, we spend a lot of time in prayer, and we spend a lot of time in fasting, and we're asking God to do things, to move through us, to use us in special ways. And so there's an expectation on the part of the person going on the trip that, wow, something exciting is going to happen. There's also an expectation on the part of those to whom we minister. They are, especially in developing countries, they're more desperate. They don't have the money to go to a doctor as easily as we do. They don't think the same way. They're poorer. So they have to reach out to God. And when you have expectation on both sides, God moves.
Yeah.
I think if we had greater expectation of Him moving here in this country, we would see Him move more here as well.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's that thing of when you kind of get out of your comfort zone and then you see, wow, God can work through me. And friends, if you say, well, okay, I don't know if I'm called to the mission field, but I want to go deeper in the Word. I want to become a more spiritual person. I want to get spiritual disciplines down better. I feel some purpose calling beyond what I'm doing. Well, then sign up for some classes. Apply to our online school. The complete program that we taught together with awesome classes with Josh and Toby Peters together, and then individual classes they teach and classes I've taught and some of the others you've heard on the radio with me. I mean, some of the finest teachers you'll sit under are full audio classes with complete study guides and then practicums. They're now available online. And then we come on, different ones of us, every few weeks, and it'll be more often than that. And we just do face-to-face interaction, mentoring, and things like that. Go to fireschoolofministry.com, fireschoolofministry.com. Inquire today, register today, put in an application today, and just take one class. Take one class. And if you get hooked, take another. As we've been meeting with our students online, we are kind of blown away by how excited they are as we've transferred everything online. We've forgotten how good some of these classes are. So maybe you feel called, you want to step out, and you've got ministry experience already, and you want to get back out on the mission field or out for the first time, go to fire-international.org, fire-international.org. If you know you need training, equipping, fireschoolofministry.com. And if you just want to give, go back to fireinternational.org and sow into those on the field. Now, Josh, you've helped raise funds for our missionaries for decades. We had last year our 20th annual missions conference just from our own people in this movement that God's graciously birthed through us and allowed us to participate in. You've seen some money miracles over the years. You live simply. You honor the Lord. You're not a prosperity preacher. But boy, you've seen some money miracles. Obviously, it's hard when there's so many. But what comes to mind? What jumps out at you, either on the field or here, some money miracles to encourage folks that God supplies? We're talking about missions. We're not talking about believing God's going to get a Rolls Royce. We're talking about believing God for the impossible, for amazing things, for missions.
Well, one of our couples, we've talked about them, who have this home for the children, the orphans. It's only been, two years. They have built a massive complex. And when they started praying about it, some money came in, but suddenly the folks who lived in the Philippines, businessmen, wealthy businessmen, they began to reach out and find our missionary and say, the Lord has asked me to give you this amount of money. And it was an extravagant amount of money. And they have built a compound now that holds, I think, 60 people, and all the buildings are finished.
Mm.
I'm talking, and there's some that we've looked at over the years that they've been in process for 15 years, and there are moments when the hand of God pours out finances by the hundreds of thousands of dollars because his heart is so deeply moved by what these folks want to do.
You know, I remember in one of our missions conferences, hey, here's a need, who wants to help, just like that. And there was a family of 10 that was going to be going on the mission field. So mom, dad, 8 kids, and they needed $10,000 for airfare. They had support, but it was $1,000 each for airfare for where they were going. And I remember the need was presented, and Josh, you said, all right, can we have 10 people that can help with $1,000? That's a lot of money. It's instant, and they all started crying. And they had been fasting, and all the kids had been fasting and praying, and just boom, it just happened in front of our eyes. So friends, if God wants you out there, there are ways. And in fact, I'm going to ask Josh and Toby to even mention a book that will help you raise funds to get out. But our goal is to see the nations reached. Our goal is to see Jesus glorified to the ends of the earth, and he's going to do it through people like you and me. And when you go and make these international connections and serve these precious people, life takes on a whole new meaning. We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, we want to help get you out on the mission field. We want to light a fire under you to make your life count in ways beyond what you ever dreamed of. And many of you are called outside of your home country to serve elsewhere. Otherwise, we're missionaries right where we are. Josh, there's a book, so I'm speaking with Josh and Toby Peters, that you found very helpful to help people with funding. What's that book that you recommend?
This book is called The Fully Funded Missionary, a biblically-based, hope-filled guide to raising financial support. And the author is Rob Parker. He's out of the Forerunner Ministry in Kansas City, and I have found it to be one of the most well-written, step-by-step, how to do this. Now, it's going to take work to do it, but from what I've seen, those who followed the prescribed method of how to raise support, how to build relationships, how to build your partnership team to go out, This is an excellent book, and you can find it online as well as the Partnership Development Manual, which is a rich resource.
All right. The Fully Funded Missionary, a biblically based, hope-filled guide to raising financial support. It would be great if you feel called and have a vision of where you're going to start to get some of these things in place, because it does cost money. And then you're overseas, you have to learn language, culture, and these are long-term investments. You may take a short-term trip to find out more, but then beyond that, maybe God wants you to spend 5 or 10 years of your life or the rest of your life serving overseas. And again, the fruit that remains forever and the blessing that comes in your life, indescribable. So Toby, what exactly does FIRE International do? Again, fire-international.org. At the very least, take a half hour, take an hour today, and just go there and look at what some of the missionaries are doing. Again, we can't post everything because of some of the countries where they serve. This is part of our extended family, all right? Read some of their stories. Pray for them. Maybe you want to support them financially, but maybe it's like, well, I want to do that. I'd like to join with this. Or maybe you see a need here, this country, that. You can be part of it. So, Toby, what does FIRE International, what does FI actually do?
Well, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So we can, you know, obviously take care of all the finances that come through for our missionaries. We receive donations. You get a contribution credit for that with the government. But we do much more than just process money. We love to do that. We're very happy to help our missionaries with that aspect. We also help them with their newsletters. We make sure that they're sent out properly. We maintain mailing lists. We proofread to make sure that the letters are grammatically correct. Some of those are better written than others, but we do try to help our missionaries make a good appearance, and our letters look really great. We have a lady in our office that does a great job with layout and presentation. But it's more than that. We really feel like we are a family. When you become an FI missionary, we not only just take care of you on a very practical level, but you become part of our family. We pray for you. We will help you. We will answer your questions. We'll pray for your kids. We'll come visit you. We email you. We'll Skype with you. We'll talk to you on the phone. We're here to help you because we know that missionaries go through challenging times. Just like any person living in America goes through challenging times. We've had marriage issues. We've had children issues. We've had singles go out and get married and then have their first children on the field. And all of these transitions, normal transitions in life, on the mission field, they're a little bit harder because it's in a different culture and you don't have the same support system that you have back home. So we're here to support. We're here to love on you, to pray for you, to answer your questions. I write the ladies every month an email just to say, hey, I'm just checking in. They know that I'm a safe place for them to vent to if they need to just let off some steam, if they have any questions. They know that whatever they say, I'm going to hear them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to respond to them and love them. And they're not going to get, you know, in trouble or anything like that. So we care for you. We care for the missionaries under our care. And we just love them. We love Missions Conference. We have a major Missions Conference once a year here in Concord at Fire Church. And it's homecoming. It's a lot of fun. The missionaries connect with each other. We've begun to see cross-pollination where they're visiting one another and helping one another. And it's great. It's so exciting to see that family really come together.
Yeah, and you know, often at the Missions Conference, when we hear some of our team from countries in Africa or I'm just all these countries go through my mind, others I can't say, but you know, countries within Africa or from Ukraine or, you know, some of the other places we mentioned or in India, you know, and you hear their stories, we just sit there crying. We're so overwhelmed to see and hear what God is doing through them and their dedication, their sacrifice, their service, their faith, and there's just something incredibly exciting and exhilarating about this. And Josh, just speak to someone that says, hey, I'm called by God. That's good enough. I don't need a sending agency. I don't need a spiritual family. Why does that not really work well on the mission field?
Well, you're out there alone. I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but I need you. I need the relationship. I need the fellowship. I need to build off of your faith. I need to build off of what your ministry doing. And if I'm out there all alone, the devil tends to put us in a solitary place, and he'll pick us off.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll lower your faith. He'll accuse you of all kinds of things. You have no one to talk to. Me, I'm very church oriented. I'm very relational, you know, and I need people to bounce, just to be with. We need each other. And as we send out, we're not just sending out men to preach from the pulpit. We have families that go and they grow and they develop as a family. You know, thinking of one, Dennis Ekobina in Cameroon.
Oh, yeah.
He is a fine teacher and a pastor, and yet he is called to train leaders there in his area, and he's brought them together well. But his wife, Arit, she's a medical practitioner, mm-hmm. and right now she's out working. Right now she's in the United States helping in the hospitals up in
New Jersey.
Wow!
But the goal is to develop a clinic, a rolling clinic, a mobile clinic, and their kids are in. They worship. You know, there's another family, their kids grow up worshiping as worship leaders. They're the band, and they grow into great disciplers and good preachers. And the family itself is a great unit to be on a mission field with.
Yeah, so you have your family. You can be called as a family, which those are some of the strongest long-term ones we have, or part of a team that you work with. You may have a team here, and you fear you're called overseas. If we're of like heart, that's the key thing. You know our fundamental beliefs. If you're of like heart, then perhaps we can help get you on the field in a lasting way. And I remember I referenced earlier last trip to the Philippines. So the students from the ministry school came over to me, and they were all standing together and with the leader of the school. And they said to me, "Hello, grandfather. We are the children of your spiritual children." And that's what's so amazing, seeing the kids of our missionaries that have grown up on the field, but then the ones they've led to the Lord, the disciples of the disciples, and they're burning with that same fire. I mean, it's gratifying, isn't it, Toby?
Absolutely. There's so many of these that we saw when they first came to Bible college here, and to see them come into their own as ministers of the gospel, and then to see in 5, 10, 15, 20 years what they've accomplished, it is truly overwhelming.
Yeah, and I've been overseas with some of them. Remember them coming to the school like 18, 19, and they're like, they're statesmen in their country. They're respected. The other leaders they work with. And so Josh, just speak from your heart to some folks that are out there, either that they can get trained at Fire School of Ministry, it's fireschoolofministry.com, or that are ready. They're seasoned. They have ministry experience. They're ready to get on the field. Just speak to your heart to those people.
Fire School of Ministry has produced outstanding men and women around the world. I highly recommend the school. I mean, we've been a part of it from the very beginning. But there are folks who we can help you with specialized training. There's, you know, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I wrote it down, and it might be my last statement here, but I want to read it to you. Here's what I felt like he said. The missionary challenge for today is to send laborers into the ripe harvest fields of the world now. Those born again in the days of the crisis are those who will carry a greater burden to reach the lost.
Mm.
Those born again and filled with the Holy Spirit in this crisis, they've sought the Lord, they've found the Lord, and they've found Him faithful to be their Savior, Deliverer, and Healer. They will have supernatural faith to serve and reproduce disciples for the next decades. Therefore, we must send out workers to the fields while they are now so ripe for harvest today.
Yeah, amen. Toby, 30 seconds, anything you want to add?
We're all called. God said, go and make disciples of all nations.
Mm.
So whether it's across the back fence or across the nations, we're all called to go, one way or another.
All right, friends. We want to help you fulfill that call. That's why we're here. That's why we raised up a school. That's why we have a missions organization. If you need training or just want to grow in God, you want to get closer to God, learn the word better, be a more solid believer and citizen of the kingdom, go to fireschoolofministry.com. Register today. Take one class, all right, and then see what happens from there. Or if you've been on the field or want to get back out on the field or know you're ready to go, contact Fire International, fire-international.org. We want to help you fulfill God's calling. We want to help you glorify Jesus in the nations. And everybody else, pray for our missionaries on the field, and if you feel prompted, sow financially into their work. God bless, friends. Keep the fire burning. Be faithful where you are right now.